Welcome to the Fanboy Factor podcast. I am your friendly neighborhood J-Man. With me is the founder of the Fanboy Factor and our resident comic book historian, Brian Isaacs. Brian, how's it going, man?
Good. How are you, man?
Not too bad. How are things these days?
Things are good.
Yeah?
Things are good. Yeah.
So we both committed to reading Multiversity.
Yes.
I said I was going to read it 2 weeks ago. I fell down on my responsibilities. I apologize to everybody, but I did get it this week, and you joined in with me.
Yes.
And what's our verdict, Brian? Let me get my gavel out. What is our verdict?
I wouldn't wipe my ass with this. It's just...
Let me ask you something. Before we even start, are you committed to reading this whole thing, or are you done?
I'm done. I really am. I'm done. I don't understand what the hell is going on.
What puts you off the most?
You mean besides the name of Grant Morrison?
Yeah.
Besides the obvious?
Yes. Well, all right. What puts you off the second most?
All right, first off, it's like...
It's not the price of $4.99, is it?
No, well, that doesn't exactly help, but it's...
Well, you are getting 48 pages, I think.
I'm finding it confusing. And, I mean, first off, it seems to tie into Final Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got the same monitor and then this vampire monitor.
Yes.
Which didn't make any sense in the first one to begin with.
Yes.
And then we got this big eye. I don't even know what this is.
There's just a lot of shit going on, just even within the first couple pages. And I think I said to you, I think what it's trying to be is the inception of comic books or comic book stories. It's trying to work on so many levels, including our own level, our own universe in this multiverse. And
yeah.
I don't know. Is this 5 issues or 6 issues?
I don't know.
I'm committed. I'm going to ride this out. I want to see where this goes. So maybe we can have a Multiversity update, maybe going forward, after we vent about this. Well, I'll have a Multiversity corner every week.
The first thing I found interesting about it was when it was first announced, it seemed like it was just going to be him going to Earth to Earth, you know, Morrison tackling all the different 52 Earths.
Yes.
And each one has their own little story to go along with it.
Which I'm pretty down with.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I'm not too thrilled, but it would have been, I think, a lot less complex. But no, Morrison has to start with this complex story, and it's we're a part of this comic universe, which I don't understand.
Yeah. There
are people who are really just overanalyzing this, and I'm like, it's not that good.
You know, I can appreciate some people reading into the analyzation, but to me, there's got to be something on the substantive level before we look into the other levels. Do you know what I'm saying? It's trying to be deeper than it is.
I don't mind. You know, I don't mind comics where I have to think. I really don't. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's been a lot of decent stories. Denny O'Neill's Question series back in the 80s dealt heavily with, you know, Zen philosophy. A lot of people didn't like it, but I did. Identity Crisis really made you think. You know, there's a lot of stories out there that make you think. And, I don't have a problem with thinking. But the surreal shit?
Yeah. It's funny because the Superman character in this, I don't know what universe he's from, but he's kind of cool. I kind of like him. The whole Captain Carrot thing, I don't get.
No, it's, as we talked about last week, it's in this book, they make him to be a cartoon character.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he gets smashed and he's flat as a brick.
Yes.
And pops back up and goes, don't you know anything about cartoon physics? And I'm like, that's not Captain Carrot at all in you know, the pre-52. It was, you know, he was just it was a planet of funny, you know, funny looking animals, but they still, you know, if one was to get flattened, they'd get flattened.
Yeah.
None of the silly stuff. And it also seems like in this book that they are taking a lot of pot shots over at Marvel.
I did see a couple. In the beginning of the book, it looks like there's Cap's taking a hit there. The first couple pages on Earth 7. But I admitted to you before we started, I did look at the pictures, but the words were really hard for me. I had a hard time reading this. I really did. Because it just makes no sense.
It's just like so out there. It's not even funny.
I would like to have somebody on. If we can find somebody who really digs this book and understands it, I would love to have some, and not take shots at or anything like that, but just to talk about this, because I don't get it. I don't get the appeal.
I think the main thing that really just pissed me off more than anything else is like the first or second splash page when they're on. First off, it's the monitor satellite.
Yeah.
Which pissed me off.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I'm seeing characters from the pre-52. I'm looking at a picture of Gypsy.
Mm-hmm.
Justice League Detroit. I see Bloodwind, who was a member of the Justice League.
Yeah.
And then I see who died in the crisis, Lady Quark, Lord Vulcan, and I'm like, are you serious?
And besides the fact that they're such obscure characters.
But they're not obscure to me. It's just like, this is just, I don't know, it's a slap in the face to any, I feel like, long-term DC readers that, you know, oh, Grant Morrison can do whatever he wants. He can play with it in whatever playground he wants.
What is the point of the monitors? Is this kid the only one that's left?
He's the only one that's left. It's the entire monitor thing just got... it was even confusing from day one.
What is the difference between the monitors and the Owens?
The monitors were just observing. Well, technically, there was only one monitor.
Okay.
He was birthed after Krona, the Guardians...
Yeah.
Discovered the, pretty much created the Big Bang.
Okay.
At the same time he was created, that's when the Anti-Monitor created.
Yeah.
But for the longest time...
Before you go on, does this go before Crisis of Infinite Earths, or is it all wrapped into that?
This is where it gets confusing, because a lot of this took place before. The Monitor... originally was just, he appeared in the new Teen Titans.
Okay.
And he was a guy who was just arming the villains.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden comes Crisis on Infinite Earths, and it doesn't make any sense. I don't know if he was testing the villain, you know, testing the heroes by creating villains or what. It's just, and even
the, so the monitor. The monitor was around before Crisis.
Right.
The original Crisis. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. But there was just the one monitor.
Just the one monitor, yeah.
Okay. And then I'm guessing in Crisis, the Anti-Monitor was created.
That's where he first appeared, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And then after Infinity Crisis,
mm-hmm.
you found out there was 52 monitors.
Okay.
But still only one Anti-Monitor, which, I don't know, you know, for every positive, there's a negative. How can you have 52 positive universes and not have 52 negative universes? But...
Well, you know, when I was going through this, one as an aside, the one thing that getting to the 52 universes, if there's the question that kept going through my head, if there's 52 universes, why isn't there an infinite amount of universes? Why 52?
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah, I get the
whatever their DC's thing is with 52, whatever their flirtation is with that. But it doesn't make sense. If there's going to be 52 Earths, there might as well be an infinite amount of Earths.
And that's how it was, you know, pre-crisis.
Right.
It was, you know, there was a ton of universes where the Freedom Fighters and Uncle Sam were wasn't a number. It was Earth X.
Right.
And, you know, they weren't all numbered.
It's just so arbitrary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I was wondering if it was May.
No, and in all actuality, 52 really stands for 52 weeks in a year.
Yeah, I get it. But they really have a thing for 52, man.
Yeah, they got a hard on for 52.
They do, man.
But I found this an extremely hard read. It was hard to get through this.
Yeah. And, you know, people will say, you know, you got to give it, you know, the next issue, or you got to give it the 3 issues or the 6 issues. Listen, 48 pages at $5. When I'm reading this, I should be able to know what's going on here.
Yeah.
You know, or not have, do you know, have some sort of idea of what's this. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. I don't get it. So I, like I said, I would love to have somebody on if anybody wants to come on and talk about this book.
I'm sure
in any threatening manner, of course. I don't know about you, but I want to know from the loyal fans what is, you know, what they're digging about this book. Yeah, and then with lice. I don't get it.
Yeah, start with lice. Then we got this harp type thing that. It's like, what? Superman's playing this harp type thing, and I'm just like, what the hell?
And who is Captain Stubbs? Who is this monkey?
I don't know. It just like came out of nowhere. You know, at first I thought this is like, what is this, Detective Jim? Which, you know, I really like. But this is just like, what does this have to do with anything?
Super Judge. Nix Oten, Super Judge. Oh, and the other thing that I find irritating is everybody's a comic book of another universe. Everybody's holding comic books from other universes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that was...
That's what it is. It's too self-referential. Do you know what I'm trying to say? That within this book, he's referencing our world as it is. And then within the book, they're referencing... I don't know why I'm so angry about it. All right, so you mentioned a little bit ago when we first started that you caught a bunch of Marvel pot shots in here. Now, I saw the one that looked like Captain America.
Yeah, in the beginning.
Yeah, so, I mean, where else was there one?
There was a couple Aborigine type of guy. This is where it gets a little complicated. Throughout comic history, both the Justice League and Avengers have been taking pot shots at each other. With, you know, pretty much going up against, you know, DC going up against Marvel, Marvel going up against DC.
Yeah.
Marvel's analog of the Justice League was just more popular, which is the Squadron Supreme.
Right.
DC's wasn't as popular. The Heroes of, I can't remember what the name of the planet was. There was a couple characters. One, a speedster called Johnny B. Quick.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't make up the names. A shrinking type hero named Blue Jay instead of Ant-Man. Silver Sorceress instead of Scarlet Witch. And then they had this one guy called Winjana.
Who?
Winjana.
Okay.
I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but he was their he was the Thor.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So this I think he's Aborigine.
Okay.
And the guy who's doing the final stand in the first couple issue pages.
Yes.
That's the redesign for Winjana.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. And then you see these Avengers kind of Avenger type characters all not, you know, pretty much dead all around him.
Yeah.
Then later on in the book, again, they get find another team of Avenger. Like you see that Crusader type guy with the shield.
Yeah, I was wondering if that's what would be.
Yeah.
Retaliators.
Yeah, the Retaliators.
I see it now. I see Hawkeye. And
yeah.
Black Widow.
And then a little later on, they had the Doctor Doom analog with the, you know, Fantastic Four analog.
Very clever.
Yeah. I think the most...
Oh, I see. I see Fantastic Four. Yeah, I got it.
I think, you know, I think the stupidest idea they could do is the cop, the dinosaur cop.
Yeah. Oh, was that Savage Dragon?
Savage Dragon. No, you don't want to go up against Eric Larson. Eric will just rip you to shreds.
First of all, you know what's funny? Because when I read these things, I did when I saw that one, I did think of Savage Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
But I always think, is that what they're doing there? Are they really taking shots, or are they just, you know, is it a coincidence?
I don't think it's coincidence. I think it's a lack of originality, if you want my opinion.
Where was that Savage Dinosaur Cop? That's the first thing I thought. See, I can get these things. But going back to Squadron Supreme, a bunch of years ago, they did that in the Max line. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
That was, yeah, that was, I mean, a lot of people didn't like that. That was by, you know, J.S. Jurensky.
I liked it a lot.
I thought it was a real world approach to what would happen if superheroes really did appear.
Wasn't it the book started off, it was just Supreme, wasn't it? And then it
Supreme Powers.
Yes, that's what it was.
Yeah.
And then it dovetailed into Squadron Supreme.
Squadron Supreme, yeah.
Yeah, that was
unfortunately, JSN left before he could finish the book.
Yeah, that was like mid-90s, something like that. Yeah, I remember that story. That was pretty good.
I mean, I liked how, you know, just they really tackled, you know, if an alien, you know, the Superman type of character were to land in the middle of nowhere, yes, the Air Force would know what the F is going on.
And he was brutal. That character was brutal.
Well, he was raised in this, like,
totally Hyperion.
Yeah, it totally sheltered anti-communist environment.
Yeah.
You know, but that's exactly what the government would have done.
Yeah.
And it's just, it really took a nice real world approach.
Yeah.
And then, but there was a series in the '80s that was done before that on the Squadron Supreme when they looked more like, the Justice League in the way the costumes were.
Oh, really? Was that, that was called Squadron Supreme?
Squadron Supreme. It was a 12 issue miniseries done by the late, Mark Guggenheim.
Okay.
Even Alan Moore has once said this is like, this story was the inspiration behind Watchmen.
Oh, no kidding.
It was, you got this Justice League type of heroes who originally failed their Earth. It got all corrupted and stuff. People went, you know, rations, you know, the world got pretty much wrecked. So they decided to the only way to save the Earth is to take over the Earth.
Okay.
And with one member that doesn't fly, a Batman-type member known as Nighthawk.
Yeah.
So pretty much it's not so much super heroics as it is this, you know, them trying to do the right thing, but in the wrong way.
Huh. And that was in the 80s?
That was in the 80s. It's a really good read. Kind of weird little backstory, but the first printing of the trades,
yeah,
they had Mark Guggenheim, his wife had his ashes cremated and they were mixed into the ink.
Oh, no kidding. That's cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have one of the first editions, so pretty much I have a little piece of this author on me. But, you know, when it's done well, I don't have a problem with it, but when it's done like this, it's just like, really?
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I'm going to keep on reading it. I want to see where this thing goes. I want to see how much it ties, because I think he's determined to tie this into Final Crisis, whatever the freak that was.
Oh, God.
I mean, obviously he's determined, and he's got all these characters from it in here.
Yeah. And you know, he's the only other than Jones, you know, Geoff Johns, he's the only allowed to have free reign in the playground.
Yeah. And see, that's we talked about this last week when we were talking about it. That's what bothers me, that this whole multiverse thing, I love it to death. I really do. And to entrust it, him, it's like entrusting the cinematic universe to Zack Snyder. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Bring some other people into the party.
There, personally, I think there's a lot better writers out there.
Yeah.
Who could have tackled it. It's just a damn shame they're, you know, been doing. Yeah, it's Morrison leading the charge.
Have they said how this is tying into their future? Like, they've got World's End going on now. They got Earth 2 World's End coming up. They got all these things coming up that are leading to the 30th anniversary of Crisis on Infinite Earths, which everybody's sort of surmising is the culmination of what's going on. My question, in a very long roundabout way, is, do you know how, if at all, this is going to tie into all that?
This is the thing. It's just like you read the interviews, they say one thing, you read the book, and it's another thing. I mean, I got swept up with that about, All-Star Superman. I thought it was supposed to be, he's dying, he has to do these 12 labors, and that's it. And then start to get his surreal, usual shit, and, it's just like they had Superman do the first 5 labors, and the next 7 labors were rushed in the final story arc, and I'm just in the final book, and I'm just like, seriously? I thought, 12 issues, 12 labors.
Right.
One issue a labor. Kind of makes sense to me.
I don't know.
And the thing doesn't make any sense. All we saw was, when it first was announced, was artwork from the Charlton Earth.
Right.
Which, the Blue Beetle, right. The Question, the Captain Atom.
Right.
So, you thought what I thought. It was going to be, him hopping from world to world, telling right. different stories.
Right.
Personally, I think an anthology would have been a lot better than whatever the hell this is.
I don't know. God help us all.
It scares me. It really scares me.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we'll read along and I'll read along and I'll give you updates.
But did you see some of these people like on some of these other websites
that are like, if you pardon my language, jerking off to it?
No, and not just jerking off, just overanalyzing it.
Well, there was one like I really wanted to look at before we talked, but I didn't get a chance. I think it was on Comics Alliance.
Yeah, I tried reading that.
And did you try reading that?
Yeah, it was just like.
As convoluted as the book was?
Oh, my God. This guy was pulling shit out of his ass, and I just really wanted to.
I'm glad I didn't do it then.
I wanted to just, reach through the computer lines and just beat the shit out of him, because I'm just like, you're talking out of your ass.
You know what? Maybe this would be good, after it's all said and done, to go back and read the Wikipedia page.
Yeah, I know. That's what I did with Final.
Some of the outgoing theories there are not. What are the prevalent theories out there?
It's like there's no theories yet. It's just like none of this makes any sense. It's just like he's pulling shit out of his ass. He really is.
Well, I think that's what I was trying to say earlier, that it doesn't really – you can't really see where this is going.
And no.
48 pages, like I said, they're – you can't – look, there's plenty of – you watch TV, you watch a movie, you don't know where it's going, but right. you have a sense of the story. Yeah. I don't have a sense of the story. I think it's like you've been saying, it's just – he took a bunch of shit and he threw it on the wall and okay, that looks good.
It's like a fucking Jason Pollock painting.
Yes. That was a great line for that movie. It was one of the best lines.
I feel the same way you do. It's just like, what is the end game? What is the point?
Yeah, I don't know.
And it's just,
well, on the other side of all this, on the other side of the comic book universe is the Marvel Axis,
right?
What is that about?
I could not even tell you. It's from what I understand, it's the heroes and villains get
switched.
Yeah, it's not a body switch, but shit happens to them that they end up changing. They swing on an axis.
Okay,
it's like Alex Summers going to go bad or something like that. Theoretically, Scott's going to be, because Cyclops is going to end up being good again, and some other happy horse shit.
So they're correcting what has been.
Well, to a degree, because then they got this superior Iron Man coming out, and the funny thing is, it's like, okay, we've seen this before when he was a drunk.
Yeah.
So he's pretty much going back to drinking, and he's just going to be a total asshole. And I'm like, it's been done.
Have you seen the pictures of that where his eyes are all?
Yeah, they said that's he's back to using the extremis.
Oh, is that what's going on?
Yeah.
is this whole Axis thing, is this where they're going shooting ahead 8 months?
I think so. Yeah. And pretty much what the catalyst is, and it started over in Rick Redeemer, in Uncanny Avengers.
Okay.
A clone of the original Red Skull.
Okay.
Because God forbid he should even stay dead too.
So oh, he took Xavier's brain.
Yeah, he took Xavier's brain, and now he's got psychic powers.
Uh-huh.
Amazing how that works.
I'm really behind on Uncanny Avengers.
I gave up after the first couple issues. I was just like, okay, you killed off Avalanche, which was a really cool hero.
Yeah.
Or villain, I mean, and it's just...
Well, I got like 10 issues. I mean, I'm still collecting it, so maybe I got to go back and read it now.
I just get, you know, I thought the, you know, personally, I liked the concept for the longest time before Avengers versus X-Men.
Yeah.
There was this X-Men bubble.
Yep.
Where crap would happen in the Marvel Universe would happen all around, and the X-Men were never anywhere to be found.
Okay.
Like, even, you know, Secret Wars or Civil War, they really weren't part of the main storylines. They had to have their own spinoff books, and that always annoyed the crap out of me. This has been going on for at least 20 years now.
Okay.
This so-called X-Men bubble.
Yes.
Because, you know, the X-Men was their was the bread and butter for the longest time.
But now that Fox owns them.
Yeah, now they're not pumping any money into it. Pushing, you know.
Inhumans.
Inhumans and still the Avengers, who, you know, had nothing to do with any marketing ploy at all. So, you know, they got that going on. And I don't fully understand it. I don't get it. It seems like a mess.
What do you make of the leaks about a new Avengers roster for Avengers 3?
I don't know.
No, you don't have a problem with that?
No. I'm, you know, there was an old motto, old order change it.
Yeah.
And they always would use that when they changed the lineup. So that changing the lineup, if they don't change the lineup, I think I'd be more upset if they did.
Well, to me, the Avengers are what we've seen, you know, and what we're going to see in the next movie. It's Cap, Thor, Iron Man, Hawkeye, and Black Widow. You know, and to me, I wasn't a big Marvel reader growing up, but these, to me, are the Avengers. So what would a team look like? Are we still going to – I mean, we got to see Cap on there.
I mean, I remember, you know, back in the history – it was Iron Man, Thor, Giant Man Cat, or whatever name he was going by.
Right.
Wasp.
Right.
The Hulk was there, then he left. But he's considered one of the founders, then Captain America.
I say all that because we know what the actors have been tied into, contract-wise.
Yeah, I mean, it's... A lot of people are kind of hoping for what's known as the first change of membership.
Yeah.
Which was when all the big guns left and it was just Cap with Hawkeye, Witch, and Quicksilver. And a lot of people referred to them in a loving way, Cap's kooky quartet.
That's not much of an Avengers team, though.
But, you know, for historians it is. You know, it's just, I mean, power-wise, yeah, that isn't that much power. So it's, you know, who stays and who goes is going to be interesting. I mean, you still got that rumor that, you know, I mean, not just rumor, but like you said about the picture deal, you know, Chris Evans doesn't have as much, you know, as many pictures as the guy who played Bucky, why can't I think?
Right, Winter Soldier.
Yeah,
right.
It's just, so a lot of people are assuming, you know, are kind of assuming that it's going to go the Winter Soldier route where Cap dies and the Winter Soldier ends up becoming Cap.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's...
Which, it as much as I like Chris Evans as Cap, it makes sense as a passing of the baton. I don't really have a problem with it.
Yeah.
They got to do these things. These actors can't be these characters forever. I mean, they do want to have their own lives and do their own personal shit. I don't have a problem with that.
And now you got Ant-Man joining the universe. So, you know,
yeah.
he may join the Avengers, you know. we'll see. We know he definitely won't join in Avengers 2, but, you know, who knows what the scene at the end of the, Ant-Man movie is going to be.
Yeah. Now, I know you told me this last time. Ant-Man comes out before Ultron or after Ultron?
I can't remember. I got to look it up.
That's fine. Because I have a feeling that the Ultron is going to be like Empire Strikes Back, that the whole team is decimated or they're all over the place. You know, they're scattered across the universe, however you want to say it.
Right. Well, there is a scene in there where Tony does have to break out the Hulkbuster armor because the Hulk goes nuts.
Yeah.
So this could be the beginning of the end of the team.
Yeah.
Which why number three might be a brand new team.
Yeah, that's true.
Some old faces and maybe some new faces.
Yeah, I guess that's – I don't have a problem with it. Not that they care what I think, but, I just was – I'm curious your thoughts on it.
I don't have a problem with it. You know, it's – again, I got to see, what's going on, the direction they're taking.
Yeah.
But, so far I trust them. As long as they don't add Spider-Man I'm or Wolverine, I'm happy.
Yeah, yeah.
I know a lot of fans that are bitching and moaning about it. I just saw Amazing Spider-Man 2 again.
Yeah, and how was it?
The second time around, it didn't seem as bad as it did the first time for me.
I only saw it the one time, but I'm finding that maybe I need to watch a lot of these movies a second time.
Hmm.
Because I did see, I don't know if we talked about it last week, I saw Guardians again the second time, and I really liked it a lot, way more than I did the first time. Mm-hmm. Maybe once the expectation is out of the way and you're just watching it for the hell of it, maybe you appreciate it a little bit more.
Maybe.
But I'll tell you, the rumors surrounding that movie, the sequel to that, don't really bode well for everybody involved.
No.
They're talking reboot already, or I don't know. I didn't think the movie was that bad. I kind of liked Spider-Man 2.
It had some problems, but it wasn't perfect. It definitely suffered from too many villain syndrome.
Oh, absolutely. They could have done right. They could have just picked one or two and that had been done with it. But I like him as Parker. I like him as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And she's gone as Gwen Stefani, Gwen Stacy. so they can bring somebody attractive in for MJ. I don't have a problem with him. He's good.
And a lot of people are hinting, saying that, Harry Osborn's secretary was named Felicia.
Oh, she's Black Cat.
Well, they never said the last name, so a lot of people are, 1 + 1 = 3.
Yeah. So. Well, listen, they're not giving up on that property whatsoever. They're going to blow the hell out of that property.
No, but what's weird is they're going to do a Secret Six film before, Amazing Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, how is that going to work?
I don't know.
Oh, is he going to have any involvement in that? I mean, he's got it. I mean, you can't just have I guess you can't just have a movie with villains in it. I guess maybe you can.
You can, but it's just...
Look, maybe it's the same thing with the assault on Arkham. Maybe it's they just throw these guys together. It's just they're bad guys, and they come together as a team, and then they face him in Amazing Spider-Man 3. Look, I just wrote the story.
But they're also talking about doing a female hero for in the Spider-Man verse.
Yeah, I saw that. You don't think they would do Spider-Woman, do you?
I don't know who she belongs to be honest with you. She may not be under the Spider-Man umbrella.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She could be an Avenger?
She might be an Avenger or, just still, Marvel Universe.
Interesting.
They could do Black Cat.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
If they want to dig deeper, they could do Silver Sable.
Yeah.
That
would be all right. I see that more as a TV show, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I would have no problem with, seeing, Jessica Drew on the big screen. But I'm just, who owns the rights is the big question. Does Sony have the rights to her?
Yeah, and a lot of these times, maybe they're just talking out their asses anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
Just to get people like us talking.
Yeah, but we do know that they do have the rights to the Black Cat because it is under the Spider-Man umbrella.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, at least they're actually talking about. And now there's serious talk about a Black Widow film still before a Wonder Woman film.
Listen, I will believe it when I see either one of those pictures. They are all, they're just hemming and hawing.
Oh, God.
I would go see Wonder Woman, Black Widow. I would see both those movies, man.
Oh, yeah, I'd see them in a heartbeat.
Heartbeat. Stupid.
It's, you know, the fact that, you know, Wonder Woman's, you know, like we've talked about plenty of times. I'm sorry. It would do very well at the box office, a Wonder Woman film.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just idiots.
I don't get it. But speaking of them, there's been this thing going around the internets about what's his name? Scotty McCready?
Scoot. Scoot McNeely or something. He's got some kind of weird name.
Scoot is walking around with green screens on his legs.
Yeah, just up to the calves.
Up to his calves. And, you know, internet speculation, you got to love. One of the first things was that he's Flash. Yeah. And I admit, I bought it. Like, yeah, that makes sense. But after I think about it, like, why would Flash – oh, but meanwhile, he's dressed up like in business casual
wear. Yeah, it's just like –
I don't know if he had a tie on, but you might as well have had a tie on.
It was just like
– after I sent you the article, I'm like, wow, that really doesn't make sense, does it?
It doesn't, because I'm like looking at this and I'm like, why the hell would he be wearing a suit?
So then the next one – I think the next theory I saw was that he was – not Cyborg. What the hell's his name?
Metallo.
Yeah, Metallo, which – going back to the Flash thing doesn't make sense.
No, again, it's just, why does he have the legs?
So the latest theory is painful. It's painful.
I know.
But it makes sense. That's Jimmy Olsen, and he's got no legs.
Yeah.
He's got cybernetic legs because right. of Superman had to throw General Zod all over Metropolis and destroy it. God, does everything have to be so fucking realistic? I don't know. God, that is so painful.
It's lame. It really is.
Why? Come on, man. Are they just? Oh, that's what. Well, which I guess we'll bring us to this next thing. The other thing that's been floating around the internet is DC's supposed mandate against no jokes in their movies.
Right.
Now. It does that. Listen, I have a hard time believing that there's a mandate in the Warner Brothers offices that says no jokes. It's stupid. Maybe there's a an implication that we're going to keep this shit serious. But I don't know, man. That him having cybernetic legs is ridiculous.
I don't get the entire no joke thing. I'm like, maybe they meant no comedies.
I don't know.
Because I'm thinking even back to, like, you know, Dark Knight Returns. You know, Alfred goes to, you know, Bruce Wayne's about to go out, and it's just like, well, aren't you going to take the Batmobile? He goes, I can't, you know, he says something, I'm paraphrasing here, you know, it's daylight, I can't be seen in something so illustrious as that, I'll take the Lamborghini.
Yes.
That's a joke!
Yes.
That's subtle, but it's a joke!
No. It's stupid. That cannot be a mandate. It makes no sense for that to be a mandate.
Oh, please, even in Man of Steel, how about the joke when it goes, you know, the entire S comment between Lois and, you know, S, super squawk.
Yeah.
It's just like, please, that's a joke right there.
But I think more, and this is my problem with everything that DC does, is the tone. Their tone is way too serious.
Yeah.
I think you can have a serious superhero movie and have a little bit of a lighter tone. Right. Their tone in their movies is depressing.
Well, Batman needed to be dark.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Superman does not. I mean, no. I like a Superman with some confidence. You know, he doesn't have to be quippy like Spider-Man, but he can have a little bit, not glib, but, you know, lightness about him.
He's got to be the Boy Scout. He really does. And they really need to go back and look at some of these early stuff. You know, it's like, you know, I remember this one thing where this girl tried to commit suicide. Superman caught her and said, you know, technically I'm the only one who can fly.
Yeah.
And it's just like, he was trying to lighten the mood.
Because, yes.
You know, it's stuff like that. In fact, Spider-Man's really the only one that makes the quips.
Yes.
Constantly, but that's...
And listen, that's what I love about Spider-Man. That's his thing.
But, you know, it has to do with, you know, I read somebody, you know, saying that, you know, Andrew Garfield was too moody, emo, and I'm like, okay, did you actually go back and read the actual Steve Ditko, Stan Lee ones?
Yeah.
Because Parker was moody there, too. Spider-Man is his outlet.
Right. And as soon as he puts that suit on, Parker's not quippy. He's not supposed to.
No,
he is the student, like you said. But as soon as he puts that costume on, he's free.
He's free. He doesn't have to worry about his all his personal responsibility. You know,
right.
He lives with his aunt. He's got to help pay the rent. He's got to keep up good grades. He's got to do all this stuff.
Right.
And it weighs on him so much. And, you know, he's still got this, you know, the thing about, you know, his uncle dying.
Yeah.
That Spider-Man is a freedom for him.
Yeah.
And that's why he does all the quips and he has fun with it.
Yeah.
But it's just...
I don't expect that out of Superman.
No.
But again, there's a certain... you can have a certain humor in your confidence.
Right.
Like you said, when he's catching that girl, you know, or there's just certain... whatever. Their tone is way too serious. Way too serious.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, I'm hoping this is all BS. If it's not, that's...
I don't think it is. Like I said, I don't think an edict came down, you know, no jokes. We're not telling jokes. But I think it's more an implication of their tone is going to be serious. Especially as an answer to Guardians of the Galaxy when they look at that and that's like a laugh fest.
Right.
But even still, it was a very funny movie. But the underlying tone is still serious.
Yeah.
You know, how he became Star-Lord with his mom.
But again, here's the problem. Again, they're betting on one film at a time.
Yeah.
And this is going to be Warner's downfall. It is always going to be Warner's downfall when it comes to the DC movies, that they concentrate on one film at a time. You have Marvel. They're wrapping as one is wrapping, one's being in post. As one is in post, one is starting to shoot.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, one is hitting the theaters. This is what Marvel is doing that is working. They are not sitting and waiting to see what the returns are going to be.
And the thing is, DC is doing that with their TV universe.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't make sense that they don't do it with Batman and Batman vs. Superman, or actually just their whole universe, not just with that movie.
No, it's... I mean, they've talked about all these other projects that are coming, you know, the untitled projects. Obviously, they don't have a clue.
Yeah.
They, you know, $10 says that'll change once they see the returns from the...
Well, that's what... we both know that's what they're waiting for. They're going to wait to see how this movie is, and it goes against what you just said, that if they're going to wait and see how this movie does... The tone of the rest of the movies is going to be this miserable.
Right.
And then if it doesn't do well, then there won't be any more DC movies.
No, we'll have to wait again. And, you know, we already know, well, it's going to do well at the box office.
Yes, I know.
As horrible as it may be.
Look, maybe it won't be horrible. I'm consoling you, Brian.
I know. I try really not to be negative, but I'm sorry. As long as Snyder is attached to this project, I just have no hope.
Oh.
He is just a horrible director.
Oh, God. Did you see the ALS challenge that they did, that Henry Cavill and Amy Adams did?
Oh, God, yes.
He looks good. I mean, his suit looks lighter. This gives me some hope. The suit doesn't look as dark as did the other one. He looks good in it. There's some hope.
Still needs a belt.
Yeah, I agree.
Needs a belt to break that up. That was funny because it looks like the crew was having their revenge. I'm watching this and I'm like, is he that horrible to work with?
I was wondering that. But listen, you got to squeeze your ass into that suit. Maybe you're a little cranky.
Yeah, well, you know, I have the gut.
But then again,
I don't have the body he does.
He to get squeezed his ass in that suit.
Yeah. If I see one more ALS challenge, I'm going to scream.
Yeah, it's a little done.
Yeah. I mean, I think the best one so far had to be two that come to my mind, and just because they're comic related. One is the always classy Patrick Stewart.
Oh, I saw, but I didn't see it. What did he do?
He stood there, wrote a check, took a glass, put some ice on it, and then put some booze in there and toast it to people and drank it.
Yeah.
That's a classy way. He just wrote a check for it. He's like, I'm not dumping any water in my head.
Isn't that the point of the whole thing, is to donate to them? I mean, yeah. I guess to raise awareness, which it definitely did.
Yeah, it definitely did.
But I think the point is to donate as well.
Yeah. And then there was one by, and again, I'm forgetting their names again, played Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Oh, I saw that again. I didn't see it. But yeah, they did the character, didn't they?
No. It looked like it was done at a con. And
Mackie.
Mackie and I can't think of the other his name.
Yeah, we're terrible. Yeah. I know who's Sean Stevenson or something like that.
Yeah. Sebastian.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. They're like, okay, we're going to do it in costume. And then they go off the screen.
Yeah.
And then they come back with two plush dolls.
Did they really?
Yes. I mean, it was just too funny. It was just like, and I heard those guys did donate money too, but it was like.
that's funny.
That's classic. Yeah. All these fun things going on at Marvel now. We're about to hit variant cover exposés.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're doing the with Hasbro, right?
Yeah. Well, first off, them and DC are both doing Lego covers.
Yes.
Which is, I don't know, I kind of look at that and I'm like, okay, and we can't get a Lego of this actual figure.
So wait a minute. The Marvel's already been doing the Lego one, the Lego variants.
Yeah, they did that.
DC's doing it not this month.
Not this month, November.
Yeah.
Because October is, they're doing a Halloween.
Right, which is dumb, whatever.
Yeah, it's.
And then they're doing, when's the Hasbro thing coming out? Are they variants or are they actual covers?
They are variant covers.
God, I hate variants.
Basically what they're doing, and they've been doing this for a while now, you know, with Hasbro. There was a little book that came out to where they would pose the figures the same way as in a famous comic scene, comic cover. And that's been going on. You know, I've seen that several times, you know, just as art, you know, just from not just, you know, not just Marvel directly, but, you know, and Hasbro. They did it professionally, but I've also seen a couple other people do it as well.
Yeah, it is. Actually, a lot of people do it on Facebook, and they're pretty clever how they do it.
Yeah, and so now they're doing it as, you know, as variant covers, and you know, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the worst I've seen.
But it's the same thing. It's the variant. You got to get the variant. You got to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's.
I wonder if DC will do it with Mattel.
Yeah, I can't see that happening.
I like that. There was a nice pause in there. Yeah, no.
No.
Wait a minute. Listen, we can't just totally diss Mattel here. They are bringing out that Doomsday figure. I wonder if – I was thinking about this the other day. We are really – I think we're much harder on DC than we are on Marvel. And maybe we're just so hard on them because we care about it.
Maybe.
I think that's what it is.
You know, it's Marvel is not without its problems, but at least
absolutely not. But I think we are way harder on DC.
I mean, I think we established we're both huge DC fans, and this entire New 52. I think if it was a full reboot, I don't think either one of us would have had a problem.
No.
This half-assed reboot.
Well, I don't know if I told this or not, but Grant Morrison canceled for next week, Brian.
Oh, rats.
No, but seriously, Mattel is bringing out that Doomsday figure.
Yeah. And a lot of fans are happy about that. It's, you know, it symbolizes the end of, you know, the DC Universe action figures. I gave up a long time ago just because of I took the word classics too literally.
Yeah.
And what they were calling classics and what I call classics are two different things.
Yeah, not the same.
No, it's, you know, when they're pumping out new characters and then characters who appear, you know, it's just, they make a figure for a character appears in one panel, and I was just like, okay. And the other thing that just annoyed me about it is, it was pointed out about the way they did the female figures.
Yeah.
Several times that the body types are too skinny.
Yeah.
They kept saying in the Q&As, we're going to fix it, we're going to fix it, we're going to fix it.
And never did.
Never did. But my problem with just Doomsday in general is he's such a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
It's not like Bane. It's a lot of people just, when it comes to Bane, people just assume, oh, he broke Batman's back.
Yeah.
No, he did more than that. He was a cunning strategist who ran Batman to, you know, point of exhaustion.
Yeah.
So he could take him down. And yeah. then, you know, some other writers were able to, you know, the one that really sticks out is Gail Simone using him in the Secret Six, which was, he was amazing in that too.
Yeah.
Doomsday is just a one trick pony. He's a Hulk analog who killed Superman, and they keep trying to bring him back, and that never works right.
Now, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Do you think this Doomsday figure was always going to happen, and they were holding back, or it was like, okay, we're going to do it?
I've talked to them several times when it comes to the licensing, so I think they probably – a lot of people are calling bullshit on it.
Okay.
I'm not too sure, to be honest with you. I can't say either yes or no, because I understand how licensing works when it comes to dealing with Warner.
Yeah.
And they have final say, and that's why we got a lot of the crap that we did, like the Skittles lanterns.
Yeah, yeah.
Friggin' Super Friends.
Okay.
So I'm not going to say...
So it's not like Mattel can really, I don't want to say take the blame, but
no.
Take... shoulder a little bit of this blame.
Yeah. I mean, they can take some of it, but not all of it.
Okay.
You know, I can't, you know, a lot of people call bullshit, and I don't, you know, I only call bullshit because I can't stand the character.
Yeah.
I mean, that and, you know, the $30 superpower figures that we're getting.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get it.
And people are bitching and moaning about that. I'm like, okay, first off, it was a lame toy line. Second off, we're talking about a very low run production. That's why they are so high in price point.
I get that. It's not the price point I don't get. It's the figures I don't get.
That's fine.
I'm just in the price point. Well, I mean, whatever. It's I don't know if you've gone to the toy aisle lately, but they've got the multiverse. Speaking of which, the multiverse figures they have out there, the 4-inch figures. God, I hate the 4-inch figures.
Yeah.
Now they expanded the line. Superman, Christopher Reeve is Superman is out there. Michelle Pfeiffer is Catwoman's out there. Right. Finally, the unmasked Michael Keaton.
I don't think we're going to see a Nicholson Joker, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I don't think Nicholson will give up the rights to his likeness.
I don't think this line, first of all, I don't think this line is going to last. No. I honestly don't think any of these DC lines are going to last.
Well, they keep making these weird versions of the characters.
Why 4-inch? I mean, first of all, they've already got the precedent of the 3 3/4, which I can't stand either. Stick with that first of all, I just want 6-inch figures. That should be the standard.
See, I don't mind the 4-inch figures so much. It's... again, it's the designs on them. They're either the movie designs or they're very heavily Batman Arkham Asylum designs.
Yes.
And I'm just like, can you just open a fucking comic book and do it that way, please?
Well, I guess then it goes back to what you were just saying, that maybe it's not so much Mattel as it is DC/Warner.
It is.
Maybe they are saying, we want you to do this, not open up a comic book.
That's pretty much the case, because they are probably like, I'm assuming DC Collectibles is like, hey, we want to be the only ones to do the DC figures.
Oh, okay. Well, they do a damn good job.
Well, now they do.
God, those figures are so awesome, man.
I mean, look how long it took to get there. You can look at the history, and they've had some really bombs.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
And now they're finally, you know, getting up to snuff.
Yeah.
But even still, I mean, have you seen the latest Earth 2 Superman?
I didn't. I have not seen it in person, but I have seen pictures of it. And
it looks horrible.
Yeah, it's not a strong figure.
No, it definitely isn't. I mean, the rest of them look very strong. Some reason that seems to be the weakest figure, but, you know, one out of how many so far?
Yeah, I mean, look, it happens. Look, I'm such an apologist. I'm a DC Collectibles apologist.
You know, I picked up the Green Lantern from Justice League War.
Yeah.
That is a solid figure.
Is it?
It's heavy.
Is it good? Is it a good figure? I didn't get any of those figures.
No, what I mean by heavy, I mean, it's just like, I feel like I could put it in a sock and knock somebody out with it.
Oh, really?
It is a lot heavier than any other 6-inch figure I have.
It's a chunk of plastic.
It's a very heavy chunk of plastic.
Huh. I'll check it out.
Which is very weird for me. It was just like, I'm not used to that being that solid.
Yeah.
They're usually like, you know, it's usually a mold. It's,
yeah. You know. Sometimes they're fragile, especially in their articulation. Some of those joints are very fragile.
Yeah, but the chest is usually an injection mold that, you know, goes together at the seam.
Yeah.
This chest crotch piece is a solid piece of plastic.
Hmm.
And it's heavy, man. It really is. It's at least about 5 pounds.
For real?
I think so, yeah. I might be exaggerating, but it's definitely it's definitely got some weight to it.
Huh. I'll check it out.
But, you know, it's, you know, DC, you know, Collectibles definitely stepped up their game. I just don't get the appeal of Doomsday. I really don't.
I don't either. And it's funny because I remember the whole Death of Superman thing, and it was, I guess it was an exciting time. They did do a, I don't know if it was Brett Breeding and Dan Jurgens. They did a, not a one shot, and it wasn't an Elseworlds. They did some sort of miniseries of how he was created. And it was, I got to admit, it was fairly interesting how he was Kryptonian, and they just started off as a baby, and they just kept killing his baby, bringing it back to life.
Yeah, yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Killing
it. But other than that, like you just said, he's just this mindless, there's no retconning this character.
No.
It is what it is. Making him a David Banner, Bruce Banner. I said David. There's no making him a Bruce Banner, Hulk kind of figure.
It's I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't understand the appeal. I don't understand why everyone had to have this character.
I don't know. I guess I think people wanted it because they showed it, and it was it's a huge, from what I've seen, I have not seen in person, but against the other figures, it's a huge figure.
No, the first one that came out was only 6 inches, so people were bitching up and moaning about the size.
Right. But the Unbound figure, I don't want to say it was twice the size of Superman, but it was much bigger than the 6-inch figures.
Right.
And it came, that was the exclusive for San Diego, and, mm-hmm. and now this Unbound one, I don't know, I guess it's going to be through the website, and good luck getting it.
Yeah.
I think the website's called Good Luck Getting It.
Yeah.
Good luck not paying way inflated prices on eBay.com.
Yeah, we have a minimum order. 10. You can order 10 of these, but we don't approve scalping in any way. And why can I order 10? Only a scalper is going to need 10 of these figures. I'm sorry.
Yep.
And I have to admit, I was tempted to get the superpowers. The only thing that appealed to me about the superpower Superman,
yeah,
is the color was right.
You're not talking gold one, right?
No. The blue and red one.
I just don't like the look of his face. It's so off.
I was planning on doing a head swap, then I found out it was $30, and I was just like, I think I'll stick with my darker costume anyhow.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, that's the right shade of blue on that one.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, you know, $30. And now they also have, on the 15th, Superboy's coming out, which after all the legal nonsense, you know, they're able to finally release
the figure. The figure is coming out?
Yep.
No kidding.
Yep, 9/15, the T-shirt and jeans Superboy.
Huh.
They don't even put it in a teenage body. They're using a standard 6-inch buck.
Yeah, I don't think I care that much.
No, Yeah, I'm looking at it for fodder, and I'm just like, okay.
Not for $30.
Nah, it's 24 or something like that. So. I don't know.
I think I'll pass.
It's just,
That's Superman figures, okay. It's not that great.
No, like I said, it's just the color scheme is just closer. And but I'm not paying $30 for that. And then, you know, some reason the service that they use is just the shipping on they have is just outrageous.
Yeah.
And I know my shipping rates. To mail a single figure should only cost about $5.
And it's 12, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or is it 15?
Something like that. But yeah. The way they get you is the shipping and handling, which means some moron needs to walk from one end of the warehouse to the other to go pick it out for you.
Throw it in a box.
Yeah, throw it in a box.
All right, Brian, you got anything else going on this week? How's your week looking?
My week is looking very quiet.
Yeah? Any new articles coming out?
Not this week. You know, I finally got around to reading Grendo Shadow, Versus the Shadow, and I'll be having a write-up on that, I'm hoping.
Yeah? How was it? Was it good?
I liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I understand. It's, you know, that was one thing I do want to say about when we did have Matt Wagner on there. It's his approach to storytelling is from an artist's perspective. I found that very interesting that he likes to he draws it first.
Yeah.
And then he'll fill in the dialogue.
Yeah.
And that's definitely an artist's approach to storytelling.
He did say that.
Yeah, I find that very interesting.
Yeah.
But it was the good first issue was good. I can't wait for the next.
Cool. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm doing my usual antics on YFNJman.com and TheFanboyFactor.com. So I guess until next week, Brian, I will talk to you then.
Very good, sir.
Take care, Brian.
Later.